Good morning, Tuolumne Community Baptist Church. This is Pastor George here in the church office Sunday morning, getting ready for a really great Sunday morning. A little cooler weather today. It's kind of nice. Nice to see a little rain last night. I hope you guys got some too. Today we're going to be in Hosea chapters 2. We're going to finish up chapter 2 and we're going to do chapter 3. And there's just so much to cover, so much ground. I hope you stay tuned. I hope you listen to every word. Open your Bibles and follow along. When we get to chapter 3, Hosea says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery.'" God is telling Hosea to go after his prostitute wife, who has gone back to her old ways. And he says, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look for their gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans, they were looking for love in all the wrong places. We're going to find out when we get to chapter 4, it's because of the lack of knowledge. They did not know who God is. Well, they know who he is, but they don't know him. It requires us to have an intimate relationship with a God to say that we really know him. That's what this is about. This is so profound of how much God loves you and me. I hope you enjoy the message. God bless. It'll get started here in just a minute. "I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord, and I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil. They shall answer Jezreel." Verse 23, "Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, 'You are my people.'" Because remember the kids that he had? The Lo-Ammi, the name of the one son was Lo-Ammi. That meant, "You're not my people." That's what the name literally meant. Now he's saying, "I'm going to say, 'You are my people.' And they shall say, 'You are my God.'" Wow. This is the God we serve. Now I want us to see Gomer possibly through God's eyes. We see her as a prostitute woman with no morals, the lowest esteem. What she truly was a sexually trafficked child. Think about our culture today, one we're living in. You realize that children, girls, are trafficked for sex slaves in America? In America, in our country, they're being stolen and they're being taken and sold as sex slaves. I believe Gomer was a slave of sexual trafficking. But I'm not saying that she didn't have a choice to make, because she did. But the sin in their culture was as bad as ours is today, where young girls have been stolen away and destroyed if they're not rescued. All of a sudden, we can look at Gomer in a little different light. "Well, I never thought of it like that. We just thought she was a prostitute. We just thought that she was..." Wait, you didn't think she was ever a child? You think this culture where they were potentially killing their babies, you think they didn't have a sex trade? We are all vulnerable to spiritual trafficking. Yeah, we are. You and I are vulnerable too. Each of us in varied degrees are vulnerable to physical slavery, but everyone is vulnerable to spiritual slavery. When looking at the book of Hosea and seeing, I'm looking at my own life, I think the thing that makes us most vulnerable to spiritual slavery is discontentment. Is discontentment. You ever been there? You know, we get discontent. Maybe you're a good Christian. You're going to church on Sunday. You're putting money in the offering. You're doing good, but you're discontented. Things aren't right at home. My wife just isn't pleasing me anymore. Or my husband never comes home. Or you know, my job just really sucks. Can I say that? I'm sorry. But my job is just really lousy. And we're discontented. I want what they have across the street. This is what we do. We get into discontentment, and we do that. Satan uses that as a door of an opportunity to show us, going, hey, you can have more than what they got. I can show you how to do that. You know, I can ease the pain if you just, you know, go back to drinking just a little bit. Hey, Damon, you haven't been drinking for years. You can handle it. You can handle just a little bit. You know, when I used to take drugs, it was just, I couldn't handle it then. I can handle it now. These are the things that the Satan is trying to deceive you with, and he uses discontentment as the tool to bring you there. No matter how good things are, there always seem to be something in our lives that leaves something to be desired. Sometimes these things can be just a bummer to us, and sometimes they're areas of deep heartache. And yet while we're sitting in church, we don't want to mention that. I don't want pastor to know that I'm feeling that way, thinking that way. I have it too, okay? I'm brave enough to be honest with you. Yes, sometimes my heart gets discontented. And I'll start thinking, man, that pastor over there's got 600 people in his church and he drives a new car. Maybe I could be like him, God. You know, maybe, you know, like, no, stop it. That's just deception. And Satan tries to get in and make me somebody that I'm not. And it all started from just discontentment. We're all vulnerable to spiritual enslavement because the enemy takes advantage and starts to lie to us. The pimp of hell, if you will tell us that if we could just have one thing, if that one thing would just make us so happy. If it would just make me happy, if I could just achieve that. That's what Satan will try to tell you. You just need that one more thing. You know, you need that new guitar, man. If I just had that. That new car, that new job, that new anything. We are vulnerable to spiritual bondage of our own. And we are nothing but slaves to sin, death, and our own destruction. Each of us have spiritual slave needing rescue. Each of us are a spiritual slave. Just like Gomer's, I believe that she was a sex slave that needed to be rescued. And God provides it for both of us. And we're going to look at Hosea 3, chapter 3. It's only 5 verses long, but it is the most profound 5 verses in all the Bible. Hosea 3, 1 says, "Then the Lord said to me," the Lord said to Hosea, "Go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who took to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans." Oh, they just love those delicacies of the pagans. They know how to eat the raisin cakes, the alcohol, the drugs, the sinful behavior. It's so attractive and it's so tantalizing. Verse 2. "So I bought her for myself." Hosea went out and bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and for 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I'm telling you, it's all that he had. Normally, a slave was bought with 30 shekels of silver. That's how I know. He didn't have 30 shekels. So he took all the food, all the barley that he had, and he traded it for her, his own wife. His own wife. Well, let me fill you in a little bit behind, between the scriptures here that you can't see. She actually had went so far that she was sold by her lovers into sex slavery. Homer had to go. And can you imagine him going through town? The prophet of God, the pastor of the church, if you will. Hey, guys, have you seen my wife? You referring to Gomer? Yeah, my wife. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to be the one. No, come on, tell me where my wife is. Oh, I seen her go off with those guys in the red hot Camaro. I seen her leave with him. And so he'd go a little further and go ask another, have you seen my wife? Was that your wife? Oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know she was your wife when she came on to me. I'm sorry, man. And he goes, no, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm trying to find her. I'm trying to find my wife. He said, well, I heard those guys saying they were going to sell her into the sex shop, into slavery. So he goes to the place where she is. And these slavery pits, they had them chained to a rock. And they would make them do whatever they want them to do, and they're completely nude, and they would sell them to the highest bidder. That's what was happening. She doesn't have anything left. She's dirty. She's all used up. And she's where she thought she would never be, being sold like an animal. So Hosea comes in and says to the auctioneer, ho, wait, that's my wife. That's my wife. I'll give you 15 shekels and all the barley I have for her. He didn't have to give anything for her. It was his wife. But he bought her back. Verse 3, he said, and I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too I will be towards you. So gently and lovingly took her and put a towel around her and took her home. Verse 4 says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king nor prince, without sacrifice, without sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. These are implements of the church that they would worship with. God is saying to Israel, they're coming back too. They may not have all the stuff that they had, but they're coming back too. Verse 5, he said, afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord, his goodness in the latter days. And my friends, that's a prophetic statement. King David lived several hundred years prior to Hosea. So how could he say King David? Well, he didn't know King Jesus, but he knew through prophecy that the Savior was coming through the lineage of King David. And that's what he was speaking of. And someday, the children of Israel will be back. It was a prophetic statement. So Hosea began to search, and he found his love. A love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. And he found her ragged, torn, sick, dirty, disheveled, destitute, chained to an auction block, in a filthy slave market, stripped naked, to a repulsive shadow of the woman that she once was. She wondered, how could anyone love her now? But Hosea bought her from slavery for 15 shekels of silver. How many times should a husband forgive a wife? If I, this is what people say. They say, if I keep forgiving, I simply affirm him in his pattern of sin. Or if I keep forgiving, she'll think that she can get away with anything she wants. Others say, if I keep forgiving, it's like putting my seal of approval on his behavior. Or I can't take another hurt like that. If he does that one more time, I'm leaving. These are the responses we hear all the time. These are human responses that I understand. Jesus said adultery was the only grounds for divorce. But what about physical abuse? Emotional and mental abuse? God hates divorce because divorce hurts people. That's why he hates it. It's that it hurts his people. And this is such a painful subject that most pastors won't even begin to address it. So many in the church today have been divorced, and hey, my people don't want to hear it. They've been divorced. But I don't want you to carry the guilt or any of the shame. Maybe it was your fault. Could have been. Maybe it was. Maybe it was just bad counsel. Maybe you have regrets. And Jesus just says, repent and come to me and I'll forgive you. And you can move on from those bad experiences. You really can move on. You're a child of the living God. Whatever you have done in your life, he longs to forgive you and replace that guilt and shame with his love. I'm so serious about it that it makes me emotional. You don't need to memorize or recite a certain prayer to repent. Simply tell God what's in your heart, face your mistakes, and trust him to work it out. That's all you got to do. As you turn to him, he will hear you and he will help you change. I want you to see this. I took this out of the Living Bible, but this scripture, I'm almost done. You got to hear it. Micah 7:18-19. Where is another God like you? You think about that for a minute. Where is another God like you? Where? Who pardons the sins and the of the survivors among his people? You cannot stay angry with your people, for your love and merciful. You were so merciful to your people. Verse 19, once again, you will have compassion on us. You will tread your sins under our sins beneath your feet. You will throw them into the depths of the ocean. One last scripture, I promise. This one is mine. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I can say that to you. I do not count myself to have apprehended all things and to know all things, because I do not. But the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's the one thing I do know. And I do know that God loves you. He loves you so desperately. I can't imagine going through a life without a God like that. He loves us so much. We need to remember that. Amen. Tony, could you come back up?